Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I was going to be interviewing Dr. Gary Null on Reboot Your Brain, but Gary had another obligation, and Eva Hare was kind enough to volunteer to interview me. Eva has a show on BBS Radio called Infinite Consciousness, and I guess now it's going to be called the Eva Hare Show. And she'll tell you a little bit about that, and then I guess we'll go right into the interview. We're going to be talking today about ecology of health and disease and exactly how do different things affect our health. And I'm going to throw some ideas out there that just came to me recently. Hello, Eva. How are you?
Well, this is kind of a fun thing to do, Susan.
It is, isn't it?
People on your show, we never get to talk about ourselves on our individual shows, you know. So
no, huh?
Let people know
that's true.
Really what you do, what I see in you every day as being my friend and my neighbor.
Right.
So, first of all, why don't you tell us where you do what you do here in Atlanta, Georgia? Where is that? What is that place?
Well, we have an office in Dunwoody. It's basically a small hospital. It's a surgery center, medical facility, aesthetic center and skin care, all sorts of stuff rolled up into one. We have four operating rooms here. We have a pharmacy. And basically, we take care of patients from all over the world. I wanted a center rather than going into the hospital. Hospitals are not good places for people with immune defects, obviously, and many of my patients have immune defects. And I think I can achieve a better safety record here, controlling staff, controlling, you know, the experience that they have. And I think we've done a good job of having a really pleasant experience for people who come. Basically, the majority of surgical patients that are coming from all over the world are having problem with their breast implants. Silicones are leaking with chemical toxicity, silicone problems in certain genetic types that can't take silicone without getting autoimmune disease. And then saline is a more, I guess, a simpler problem. It's usually just mold and or bacteria contamination in or around the implant due to valve defects and due to exposures the patient may have had breathing the mold in and then getting it in their bloodstream. And, of course, any foreign body can get a biofilm around it. In fact, there was a recent article in the Journal of Biofilm saying that for breast implants, one-third were found to have biofilm. So it's actually very common. I would think it's more common in older implants because you get more degradation of the shell and more likely to get infected because they're in longer time. So basically, we do a lot of cutting-edge medical care to get people better from these illnesses, treat with antifungals, do the correct surgery, and then support the immune and endocrine system. The endocrine system is basically wiped out by the biotoxin and some of the chemical toxins. So they have thyroid problems, adrenal problems. They drink and pee all the time because they have ADH deficiency, sex hormone deficiencies, and really bad adrenal deficiencies. And then we also support their immune system primarily with supplements, although we are using low-dose naltrexone now, which is a great little trick. It's a narcotic antagonist at a very low dose that helps increase endorphins and increase the immune system. And there's been cures of a lot of intracellular infections and autoimmune diseases, which we'll talk a little bit about later. But we see a lot of patients responding to low-dose naltrexone who have immune defects.
So I also know that you haven't mentioned the big C word. I know that you have a lot of luck, success treating that. Can you talk about that just a minute?
Yeah, we have. We established Avatar Cancer Center here in 1999. That was with Dr. Rhett Bergeron, who is one of the experts in integrative holistic cancer therapy. And he's. We work together. We're not in the same building right now, but we work together. And we do the surgery for Rhett, and then you know, especially if it's breast or skin. Not all surgery, because we don't do general surgery here. But we're getting good results here with some new technologies that that actually are supported by the peer-reviewed literature, and have to do with the multidimensional aspect of cancer. Many people have heard of spontaneous remission of cancer, where an energy starts at the crown, goes to the feet, and by the time it's down there, all evidence of metastatic disease is gone. And there's a lot of theories as to what happens there, but some of the healers that I work with have actually observed what's happened there, and we use that those observations along with some of the stuff in the literature to come up with some treatment plans that have to do with blocking energies coming in from other dimensions that seem to be very important in cancer. So that was that's a little bit about what we're doing. And of course, I want to talk a little bit about the cause of cancer, because that's very important. I believe that cancer is caused by an energy depletion in an organ system. So even leukemia would be the blood system, lymphoma would be the lymphatic system, but most are solid organs. And when the energy gets depleted enough, that can be with carcinogens, toxins, radiation, emotional things that cause biological conflicts. This is Dr. Hammer's work in Austria. But anyway, the energy in the organ drops down, and then the cancer really invades from outside the third dimension. And that knowledge has helped us do some things that are very effective. So basically, we're studying multidimensional medicine as it relates to certain diseases, primarily Morgellons and cancer in this regard. And so one thing that you can do if you have cancer is try to increase the energy in the organ, because that kind of throws off the invading force there. And to do that, you can do, of course, energy techniques like Reiki and things similar to Reiki. You can do like raw diets, which put a huge amount of energy into your body. You can do forgiveness techniques, which clear the clouded emotions that are targeting the organ. And all of these have been associated with remission of cancer, not always spontaneous remission, like I described before, but say for 6 to 8 weeks of this therapy, then leading to a gradual remission. And I think we've just sort of figured out how to increase the energy in the tissues for, depending on the cause. I mean, like if the cause is primarily toxic, then detoxification is very important. If the cause is primarily emotional, then reversing those emotions is very important. So determining the cause, the main cause, can be very important.
I'm curious, how do you go about how, because many people, when you see them, the first thing they say is, I've dealt with that issue. How do you as a physician figure out which one that it is? Help the patient figure out which one it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, well, I talk to the patient. My patients tend to be very intuitive, as you know, like attracts like, right? And most of my patients actually know what the issue is. They come in knowing. If they are, I can help them figure it out a little bit if we do some applied kinesiology to figure out if they have toxins, because, of course, the patient may not know that they have, like, toxins, hydrophobic chemicals that land in the fatty tissue in the breast, usually in the upper outer quadrant. And we see that 85% of the cancers start in the upper outer quadrant. So you see the where the toxins live is also where the cancers live. So you can see that toxic elements do probably have an important etiology, at least in the location of the breast. But let me tell you a little bit about the emotional component in breast cancer. If the woman is right-handed and she has a threat, somebody who's supposed to protect her betrays her, say a husband cheating or an uncle who sexually abuses her or a father who commits suicide and leaves the family penniless, These are all things that would lead to precipitous lowering of the energy in the left breast. The right breast has more to do with people that the woman is nurturing. It could be children, it could be elderly parents, it could be a husband that's impaired somehow and is like a child. But in any case, if she has a rejection from a child, or a child almost dies, or if a child does die, I had a dog die one time. One of my patients had a dog die. She had many dogs die, but this particular dog she felt guilty about, and she ended up getting right breast cancer. And she knew it was the dog. I mean, she knew that inappropriate, excessive emotion with that of grief with that dog lowered the energy in her right breast. And then she did a bunch of work. She called a pet whisperer that was able to get in touch with the dog and did a bunch of clairvoyant work. And she cleared a cancer that was clearly outside the bounds of the surgery that I did. You know, I was doing, I did surgery on it, but it was clearly outside the bounds and could have recurred, but it didn't. So the idea is that getting to the core issue and clearing that issue is very important. And I learned that from my spiritual father, Doc Linwald, who was really the founder of some releasing techniques. And Doc used to tell me that if you know the issue, clearing cancer isn't that difficult. So that's good to know from someone who was doing it. So
let's talk about what we were talking about around my dinner table last night. The subject of your new book down the road.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because that pulled all the pieces together.
Yeah. Well, this idea came about. When I was young, I thought I was going to go into environmental issues. My uncle was in NOAA. My family was involved in environment, especially ocean environments, and politically active in that. And so I was studying ecology and environmental, not medicine so much, but just environmental of issues of the world. And oceans are very important, obviously, because we're polluting our oceans at a high rate, and that's going to affect us in the future if it's not affecting us already. But in any case, the idea is that I studied a lot of ecology. And when you study ecology, it's all about systems, how one thing affects another. And if you think about organic gardening, you have a lot of different things that affect the growth of your crops. You have the seed. You know, we've heard a lot about GMO and how that is making the seed population maybe contaminated with some things that we don't want because of genetic sharing. And then that can also come back into us with GMO. We'll talk about that in a minute. The environment, we have, the soil, sunlight, water, air, acid-base balance, all sorts of things like that. Then we have toxic influences, which can be radiation, chemical, electromagnetic, acid-base balance and other toxic factors that may be more subtle. And then nutritional balance, they have to have the right minerals and plant foods and that kind of thing. And there are emotional components with plants. If you've ever read The Secret Life of Plants, plants respond. Like if you have the thought that you're going to cut a branch off a plant or a branch off a tree, there's an emotional response that tree, as you approach it with the scissors, will have that can be recorded. So at least at some level, the plants are aware and can respond with, shock and negative emotions. And then the infectious components, insects and parasites and things you can do like companion plants and like ladybugs and stuff like that to prevent infectious agents. So that gives you a little bit of the idea of ecology around organic gardening. And there's probably some people out there who have gardens in their backyard that understand that it's very complex and that not just one thing goes into creating a good crop of a plant. or good tomato. So if we think about that kind of ecology with the human body, it breaks down like this. We have genetics, and you and I have both interviewed some of the scientists who are championing epigenetics, which is the idea that our genes are not completely set in stone, but that how the environmental factors can cause genes to turn on and off. So genetics isn't roped in entirely. There are some genetics that are hard to get around, like, you know, certain bleeding disorders and stuff like that. But a lot of genetics do depend on the emotional state and the environment, to whether or not they express. So we have our genetics, which would be equivalent to the seed. Then we have to be concerned about how different things are affecting our genetics, including radiation, nanotechnology, unknown things like radiation. We just don't know. The mutation rates go up and that kind of thing. But it certainly is probably not good. Then with the environmental, there's so many things in the environment that you have to consider. You know, the water you drink, how much sunlight you get, the food you eat, the you know, all sorts of environmental potential problems now. And then that goes to toxic. We have electromagnetic problems. Many of us using cell phones with unknown problems later on, possibly due to increased free radicals with increased tumor formation. Radiation, there's a lot more background radiation, especially in some parts of the world, that are increasing mutations and increasing stress. And then chemical, we're all ingesting chemicals that are way off the charts compared to, you know, 50 years ago. So the chemical stressors and what that's doing to us. Nutritional factors, we've done many shows, both of us have done many shows on nutritional factors and supplementing vitamins and minerals that may be depleted in the food. Emotional problems, emotional issues, how heavy-duty emotions get lodged in the cellular memory and can lower the energy of the organ in cancer, can cause chronic pain. There's an interesting article about looking at pelvic pain patients and how a large percentage of them have had sexual abuse issues, especially when they were very young. So that's an idea of the emotional injury being held in the tissue. Infectious agents, we have everything from viruses, intracellular infections, prions, bacteria, parasites, you know, all sorts of critters that can cause problems. And just like with organic gardening, a very healthy organism is much less likely to have these infectious problems, whereas an organism that's very acidic or an organism that is not well with multiple chemical problems are more likely to have infectious problems. Then there's energetic. A lot of books are being written now about the human energy system and how it's affected by different things and how we can work on our energy system and not take in energies that are not good for us, how we can protect ourselves against psychic attacks, energetic attacks, and basically live in an environment without our energy system being disrupted. And then probably my favorite is spiritual. These are things that are out there. Things like walk-ins, what happens when somebody effectively dies and another soul is put in and the person wakes up and has all sorts of different, not so much memories, although sometimes the memory changes, but they're different people. They like different food. They like different clothing. They have different abilities. Some are become healers at that point. I met a walk-in one time that he was an auto mechanic, and he fell out in the mall, and when they took him to the hospital, when he came to, he knew all sorts of stuff about medicine. I mean, he knew the meanings of all of these medical terms, which was really wild. And then he became a pretty well-known healer in Ohio. He, in fact, healed me of asthma from cats. So I know that, I mean, I know for a fact that he was a pretty remarkable healer because I went to him at one point when I was in the military. Then we can talk about multiple personality disorder. You want to say a little bit about that? I know you've studied that.
I want to talk about that, and I also want to talk a little bit about fibromyalgia, because many people have it. And maybe if you think that fibromyalgia might be tied into perhaps that one of the alleles of MTHFR.
Oh yeah.
So many people that have that, you know, have that mutational disorder have
fibromyalgia. Well, I can tie that in.
For it?
Well, let me finish.
That?
Let me go back and finish spiritual though. Because I want to, when I go into fibromyalgia, I'm going to plug in what these various things contribute to, because all of them do. It's very interesting. But let's finish spiritual. Multiple personality disorder is when the personality shifts. It's usually somebody who's been traumatized pretty bad as a child, and when the personality shifts, they get different. Some are diabetic, some aren't diabetic, some have a penicillin allergy, some don't have a penicillin allergy. So the idea is that when the personality shifts, even the biochemistry and the physical aspects of the patient can shift. And that's something that kind of goes beyond this realm of the third dimension and something that I think we need to study more. And then, of course, we talked earlier about spontaneous remission. That's where energies that are obviously not located in the third dimension come in and affect the body in a way that is profound, sudden. I mean, it's usually very quick and changes things in just a matter of minutes. And I had interviewed Maku Kichu on Superstring and Amit Goswami on Quantum Theory a number of times. And if you understand these physics systems, which both incorporate multidimensional reality, then you can better understand what's going on with the spontaneous remission. It has to be an energy coming in from a higher dimension and then changing what is, like pretty quickly, changing what is in the third dimension, because my theory is that a fifth-dimensional energy comes in, goes through the body, and throws out a fourth-dimensional energy that is associated with cancer. So that would be spontaneous remission of cancer. But back to fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia doesn't have just one cause. Fibromyalgia clinically is a bunch of tender points. I think it's you have to have a certain number of them. It's probably over 8 or 12 tender points that when you touch them, and they do correspond to acupuncture meridian points or acupoints, when you touch them, they're sore. So, and the other features of fibromyalgia is that they usually have fatigue, muscle ache, mental clouding, severe energetic problems because the Krebs cycle isn't working right. The Krebs cycle is what's responsible for energy production in the mitochondria. And I'm going to go through what we talked about before and just touch on fibromyalgia. The first is genetics. You mentioned this genetic defect that's associated with pathway problems with folate and B12. And that particular genetic expression has problems detoxifying. So therefore, one of the causes of fibromyalgia is chemical toxicity, and you can see pretty well how a genetic defect in a detoxification pathway would probably very much lead to somebody being prone to fibromyalgia, and especially getting rid of heavy metals and other things which would predispose to that. Environmental, that's where the heavy metal exposure comes in, and also mold. Many people who have fibromyalgia have had mold biotoxins, and they have a genetic defect that doesn't allow them to get rid of the mold biotoxins. This occurs in 25% of people, and mold exposure. They don't have to have mold growing in their body like my breast implant patients do. They can just be exposed to it in the environment, and it really does a number, causing severe fibromyalgia that has the, I guess, the quality of every time they get exposed, they get sicker quicker. And Dr. Richie Shoemaker has written a book on this called Surviving Mold, which is very good. And this is a part of medicine that's politically incorrect. So other than reading Richie Shoemaker and some of the stuff that I wrote in The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, and then some of the other, there's a few other integrative holistic doctors that are on the cutting edge of treating toxic mold. But essentially, many doctors have never even heard of sick building syndrome, and they certainly don't know it's associated with fibromyalgia. So if you develop fibromyalgia after a water intrusion problem, you'll have to get that fixed, which sometimes means tearing out moldy boards or drywall. And then if you have the mold spores on your papers and clothing and furniture, we have a cold diffuser for essential oils, and we made up an essential oil mixture, which is thieves, which is basically good for anything that grows, bacteria, mold, anything. And we put menthol in with it, and mold doesn't like menthol, and then that'll help treat mold spores in the environment.
Let me ask you a question right here, because many people who have mold problems at home, first thing they do is get the Clorox out, which of course exposes you to chemicals as well.
Yeah.
You know, it might kill the mold, but does that make it okay for you to breathe it? Many people think
clean it
with Clorox.
I guess it depends on where it is. I mean, I've used Clorox for small leaks that aren't near me, but I wouldn't put Clorox in the air conditioning system because that's going to be nebulized and you're going to breathe it in. And chlorine is a hydrophobic chemical that is associated with vascular disease. I had a patient the other day clean her whole place with Clorox and then have a TIA or a pre-stroke. And it's very common when people are really in Clorox environments to start having vascular disease. So that's not good. But I mean, if you have a real small area in a closet that you don't go in very much, I don't see any problem with treating with Clorox. Now, will it be effective? You know, you're going to have to go back and check because it may not be effective in getting that mold out of there. But you know, most people who have really big problems like flooding, crawl space flooding, apartment flooding due to neighbors who have, you know, overflowing bathtubs and toilets. This stuff is hidden in the walls. You may see a little bit of it on the ceiling or whatever, but there's massive mold behind the walls. And so that really requires, you know, somebody that knows how to do mold remediation and get out the drywall. The problem is a lot of our drywalls grow mold way too easily, and water intrusion problems are really, really common. So, you know, it's not a great idea to have drywall that just turns into mold environment. So there are some drywalls out there if you're building a new house that are more resistant to mold, which you might want to consider.
So how do you treat mold? How do you help?
Well, it depends on where it is. I mean, you've got to treat it environmentally. Oh, in the body? Well, I try to determine where it is with a visual contrast sensitivity test and a history and physical exam. My patients usually have it in and around implants. But some people have developed it in sinuses. One of my friends was using Astropro nasal spray and got really sick with mold in his sinuses. Of course, if you have mold in your sinuses, you're going to have sinus symptoms. If you have twitching around an eye, that's usually mold biotoxin in the sinus. If the visual contrast sensitivity, the biotoxin's a neurotoxin. So if you only have mold on one side of the body, that eye will be blurred and the other one won't. So we just try to determine where it is. If it's around a foreign body, usually you have to remove the foreign body because the biofilm doesn't respond real well just to antifungals. Now, when they're on antifungals, these are systemic antifungals, not topical. When they're on them, they will feel better, but 3 or 4 days after they stop them, the mold will regrow and they will feel bad again. So we find that with breast implants and other implants that have mold around them, we have to remove the implant and treat with antifungals. And then with the sinuses, sometimes you need surgery. Sometimes the sinuses are blocked off and the mold is behind a blockage, like a big polyp in the maxillary sinus or something. So you have to, you know, be evaluated by a doctor to see if you got a problem that requires surgery, or if you can treat with a neti pot. That's good. I know tea tree oil in the neti pot can help clear out a sinus, along with systemic antifungals. So the problem is, a lot of people with sinus problems, they're just put on antibiotic after antibiotic and never given antifungals. And there was a Mayo Clinic study showing 95% of chronic sinusitis patients had mold or yeast. So that's something to remember if you still have sinus problems, especially if you have copious amounts of clear, thick mucus. That's going to be fungus. It's usually not, you know, green. Green's usually bacteria, or yellow is bacteria.
What about in your gut? Does it?
Oh yeah, you can get mold in your gut, and it can cause leaky gut because of a neurotoxic problem. It also, if you don't have your gallbladder, it'll cause an ampulla of Vater problem, which is a smooth muscle thing where the bile dumps into the duodenum, and that'll close off that, and then your bile ducts will dilate and then get infected with bacteria, and that's real painful. I have that was in Dr. Richie Shoemaker's first book, Mold Warriors, and I had a number of patients with it that for some reason was more common after they had their gallbladder out. So let's go back to the different things we were talking about. So we got to environmental and fibromyalgia. So environmental would be mold and primarily mold and biotoxins in your environment. Now, toxic would be an example of silicone breast implants leaking with the chemical leakage, chemical exposure from other things that were going to disrupt the Krebs cycle, cause an energetic problem. Certain electromagnetic states, especially when they're in your bedroom and they interfere with you sleeping. It's well known that fibromyalgia has decreased growth hormone and a sleep disturbance associated with it. So if you're not able to sleep, you can't heal the micro traumas that you have every day, and you can head down the path of energy disruption and fibromyalgia from a sleep disorder. Just try, you know, anything that disrupts your sleep is likely to give you something similar to fibromyalgia. Nutritional problems, people who are more acid, who eat more sugar and meat, they grow mold and yeast more likely. So a good nutrition, increasing alkalinity with alkaline water, alkaline foods, and I like to use the alkaline water tube because it's $20. You can put it in distilled water and get a pH up to about 11. Then you can measure your urine pH, and if it's still acid, take buffer pH three a day, or sometimes three twice a day to become more more alkalinic, and then the critters won't grow in you as much.
What should your urine pH be? What should both your urine and your saliva be? Because many people don't know.
Well, if you get the system that we sell, they go through that with you. It depends on whether it's a morning urine or a urine later on. But essentially, anything above 7.5 is too high. You don't want to go that high because you can get kidney stones. And you probably want to try to keep things above 7. So I would say between 7 and 7.5. But again, you know, it's a range. You know, you can't really control your urine pH down to the point, you know, level. You're going to have to just make sure you're not too low, especially in your morning urine. Your morning urines tend to be lower because, of course, you fasted all night.
Okay. So let's talk about, have we covered?
Well, can I finish with fibromyalgia?
Because
I'm only on nutritional. Let's see. Emotional. There is evidence that strong emotional traumas can then lead to fibromyalgia. Some of it might be biochemical, certainly sleep disturbance, you know, when you can't sleep because your life's in a turmoil. That would change things. Emotions might even change your acid-base balance. They might change your ability to get rid of toxins. But in any case, there's evidence that emotional traumas can be the onset of a fibromyalgia illness. Infectious. This is important. Intracellular infections, which are very politically incorrect because they're the basis of our biological warfare system, are a known cause of fibromyalgia. Specifically, mycoplasma and even Lyme's that hasn't been diagnosed as Lyme's can present as fibromyalgia. But intracellular spirochetes, intracellular mycoplasma, especially mycoplasma, can be a cause of fibromyalgia. And since you can treat intracellular infections either with long-term antibiotics and antifungals or with the Harmonic Quad and other supplements that Dr. Overman came up with, it's important to treat this infection because it is associated not just with fibromyalgia but with other health problems. One half of patients with rheumatoid arthritis have intracellular fibromyalgia. It also may be very common in autoimmune disease. In other words, there's cell wall deficient forms inside the bacteria. In fact, Dr. Lydia Matman, who is the author of the textbook Cell Wall Deficient Forms, found the same intracellular spirochete in 30 MS patients. So that's a known autoimmune disease that probably has a intracellular infection cause. So if you look at autoimmune disease, think of chemical toxicity as well as intracellular infection. So treating, diagnosing and treating that, you diagnose that with a lab test and you treat it depending on what you get with muscle testing. So the energetic pathways may very well be disrupted in fibromyalgia. And so you'll probably have a certain energetic picture for many fibromyalgia patients that's deficient in energy. Maybe chakras are, you know, turning backwards. They're not taking energy in properly. It might even be that intense electromagnetic fields cause a energy depletion disorder that looks like fibromyalgia. And more patients are getting electromagnetic sensitivity disorders as well as multiple chemical sensitivity disorders. So, and they look a lot like fibromyalgia. And then finally, spiritual. I've seen spiritual causes of fibromyalgia when someone is getting off their path. They are supposed to be going in one direction, but they're going in another direction, and they maybe a mold exposure or a chemical exposure comes into their life to put them back in bed, perhaps so that they can redirect because they can't do much. There's only a few hours a day that untreated fibromyalgia patients really have to get things done. After that, they're exhausted and they have to go back to bed. So a lot of people who get fibromyalgia start exploring spiritual pathways that they might have been too busy to explore. So that's the spiritual aspect.
So how successful can one be in getting rid of the misery?
Well, it depends on the cause and how you can get the cause gone. I mean, it can be very simple in the case of mold exposure, just getting it out of the body, getting it out of the environment. Of course, they have to be careful not to get into it again. I mean, you can walk into a store that had a water intrusion problem and get sick in about 5 minutes but at least what I tell my patients, they just keep mold Sporox with them. They take 4 twice a day, and that really, even 4 3 times a day, that really will help get the biotoxins out of them if they breathe them in. So there are things you can do. You can take a cold diffuser with you on vacation. Maybe if you have a beach vacation and there's mold in the beach house. Some of my patients got mold from scuba diving equipment, you know, breathing it in from scuba diving equipment, which, you know, is wet and moist and probably grows mold on the inside. So there's a lot of different dangers out there. So being aware of your environment is very important.
What about Lyme's disease? So many people have that problem, or think they do anyway.
Well, I think a lot of people have immune deficiencies. Once you develop an immune deficiency, either from bad diet, not sleeping well, you know, being unhealthy in general, being living in electromagnetic fields that take your immune system down, I think Lyme's disease is not just from tick bites. My opinion is it can be transferred human to human. I read an article the other day about sexual transmission. I believe that's true. I think that other insect bites might transmit Lyme's. I think you can get Lyme's from your animals. Of course, your animals go out. If they're outdoor animals, they get ticks, and they come back in, and they can transfer the Lyme's to you, even if they're not that sick. And you are. Again, with your immune system down, it's an intracellular infection. It's relatively easy to diagnose. They've come out with a new test. I think it's called iSpot Lyme's, which is more able to test it. I'm not sure if it's covered by insurance as yet, but many of my patients with breast implant problems are positive for Lyme's on just the regular test. So we get just the regular Lyme's test. It's positive, and we know they have it. There's co-infections you have to look at, Bartonella, Babesia, Chlamydia pneumonia. These are all intracellular infections that travel with Lyme's, so you have to treat them as well. A lot of doctors who were treating Lyme's had their medical license threatened. Let me explain why. These intracellular infections are the basis of our biological warfare system, and certain elements in the government don't really want cures of this stuff. So they tried to make fun of the doctors. They took their licenses away, that kind of thing. Tried to say they were all quacks. You know, there's a quackbuster thing on the internet, and they pay people to go and try to ruin doctors' reputations that are doing cutting-edge work and trying to help people. But the normal person on the internet would be able to see through that based on what's written. So if you have Lyme's, you know, you have to take care of your immune system, your acid-base balance, your emotional clearing, look at your energetic environment, make sure you don't have some bad energies in your bedroom. All these things are, you know, it depends. I mean, sometimes it's just the energy in the bedroom that is so bad that when you sleep there 8 hours a night, you're going to decrease your immune system and might end up with cancer and intracellular infection or some other fibromyalgia problem. And all it is a bad energetic bedroom. So you fix it. You know, you move your bedroom or move your electrical box or whatever you need to do, or get a dowser in to douse and find out where the ley lines are and fix it. You know, there's many ways you can fix it. We did an interview on shungite, and you might want to have her on your show. It's Regina Martino she's in France. She is a geochemist that talked about all the energetic properties of shungite, which is protective against these energetic problems. You can paint with it. You can paint your walls with it. You can build a house with it.
Where
you can
get it?
Wear it. You can get it for her website. I don't have her website's name, but if you Google Regina Martino shungite, spell shungite, it's S-H-U-N-G-I-G-T-I-T-E. And it's, I think it's G-I-T-E. But shungite is... you can bathe in it. It comes from Russia, one place in Russia near Finland, and it has all these properties of really increasing the immune system and really helping people out with increasing. It works via the energetic pathway. It increases the energy in the organism. So you can wear it. You can, take baths in it. You could, you can even ingest certain aspects of it, and it's something to specifically treat the energetic part, which is interesting.
So people always want to ask a plastic surgeon this question about breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a little bit off topic, but still, everybody always wants to know this. Is there a safe implant to get just for cosmetic purposes?
Well, There are safer implants than other implants. My opinion, based on treating thousands of patients with implant problems, are that if you want to get just cosmetic implants, the safest implant would be Allergan Smooth Saline. Avoid textured implants, even if you've got breast cancer. Texturing flakes off, gets in the lymph nodes, gets in the immune system, and can increase your risk of developing autoimmune disease and also infective foreign bodies, say in the lymph nodes or around the capsule. Texturing doesn't really help that much, and it has a lot of downsides, especially if your immune system's not good. For silicone gel, we're still seeing a lot of patients get sick with silicone gel coming through the elastomer, the silicone silastic elastomer, the covering, even early on. I mean, we're taking implants out, and there's 30 grams missing on one side, and all their symptoms are on that side. They've only had the implants in 5 months. So something's wrong with the manufacturing process. If I had to do silicone, I would do Sientra Smooth Silicone. I think that they're going to be a better choice, given what I believe is the safety features in Sientra implants. Sometimes if you have cancer and are doing reconstruction, silicone gel is a better cosmetic result. But the safest implant for cosmetic would be Allergan Smooth Saline. Do not get Allergan textured. That's made with the lost salt technique, and that's been associated with the rare lymphoma. So avoid that at all costs.
Wow, that's amazing. I wouldn't have even known to think about that.
Well, when you see all the problems, you see what's causing the problems. There's patterns. And actually, the head of Sientra wrote me a very nice email thanking me for my contribution to breast implant clinical research.
Well, you were certainly... Oh, we got a few minutes left yet. Do you want, mm-hmm. want to speak 1 minute about Morgellons? Because you were showed the CDC their first case.
Right. Morgellons is
that,
one of...
First of all?
Morgellons is one of the fourth dimensional intrusions into the third. It basically affects light workers, people who are more spiritually based. Its purpose is to stop them in their tracks. And it was actually, if you look back on YouTube, there's a Barbara Marciniak channeling of the Palladians back in 1992 that predicts that around the year 2000 that we would have this problem, and then goes into why it is, which is very interesting. It has to do with the ascension. It has to do with our light bodies and what's happening within our bodies with the ascension. For people who are students of the ascension and what's going on with our light bodies, it's very interesting. It's something going awry with this process because of a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third. And then again, because of understanding multidimensional reality, I was able to achieve cures of every Morgellons patient I had based on this technology with this knowledge. So, I mean, what I'm saying to people, unless you know the cause of a disease, you're not going to understand how to cure it. And so that's why I'm so insistent on looking at disease causation. And that's why we just went through this whole ecology thing. Because you could have Dr. Staninger told me there's certain genetics that are more likely to get Morgellons, which makes sense because the gifts of the spirit are associated with certain genetic lines. There's certain environmental things. A lot of chemtrail activity was associated with Morgellons acting up. Toxic, there's a lot of silicone and high-density polyethylene in the fibers. The fibers that come out are definitely toxic. Infectious, there's parasites, bacteria, there's Pseudomonas pudia, which is a bacteria that's genetically engineered to eat oil products. There's viruses and definitely mold. Every Morgellons patient has mold around these foreign body fibers. There's an emotional component. You feel like you're being attacked because you are. So emotionally, it's a very bad attack, and many Morgellons patients have committed suicide. There's nutritional aspects. Again, some of the most lowest vitamin D levels I've ever seen have been in my Morgellons patients. There are acid-base problems. Every single Morgellons patient is extremely acidic, and so you have to correct that. There's energetic problems. These people have weird electromagnetic fields. I mean, all sorts of strange things happen. I mean, I've had TVs turn on. I've had all sorts of weird electromagnetic things in their field that affect equipment around them. And then spiritual. Basically, from what I understand, this is a spiritual attack coming from the fourth dimension to the third. It's meant to take them out. It's meant to cause despair, hopelessness. Of course, the medical profession has been trained to just say they're crazy, and discount them and to belittle them, which of course is interesting, given that we're supposed to have compassion in the medical field. But in any case, that is Morgellons down the ecology system.
Can you take just a second and tell somebody some symptoms in case they have symptoms but don't have a name to go with it?
Yeah, it's a profound fatigue illness. You're exhausted, extremely exhausted. You might sleep 17 hours a day. You can't think. Your thinking is very cloudy. You can't function well at all. Some people have wounds with lesions coming out, fibers coming out, and so the medical profession said that they were picking and causing all the wounds themselves, but that was stupid because the wounds were in areas they couldn't reach. And not all Morgellons patients have wounds. If you've got pigmented skin, you may just have itching and crawling sensations. You may not actually have the wounds, but most Caucasians will have wounds. And these wounds can get extremely big. I have patients who have wounds that are gigantic and very life-threatening, and bleed and have all sorts of infectious problems. I have patients who have parasites I think these might be energetic parasites. I'm not sure they're real parasites, but they have a lot of things. They have bugs that fly out of wounds. They have little things that are isolated. It looks like spiders, but when you send them in, they're actually vegetable fibers. They have things that can exist in third-dimensional reality, but yet they see them and other people see them. So these are things coming in from another dimension that have kind of a spell-like quality that defy third-dimensional physics, and so that's a lot of why the doctors call them crazy, because the doctors can't conceive that there is more than one dimension that might be involved in this disease.
So where can people find you, Dr. Kolb?
Well, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. My website is www.templeofhealth.ws or www.plastikos.com, PLASTIKOS. If you go to Temple of Health, you can get into all the websites, the Cancer Center, the Millennium Healthcare. Millennium Healthcare is the integrative holistic medical center we have associated with this. Dr. Brad Gould is our holistic family practice doctor. Dr. Mike Greenberg, holistic chiropractor. And Dr. Gordon is my partner in plastic surgery. We do many of the surgeries together. I have skin care here. We have a Lala laser for fat reduction and tightening of your skin. So if your belly's too big, especially if it's not inside your belly, we have a pill for that called Metazol. But outside, we can do the fat reduction with a laser instead of with suction. But if you're in a hurry, you can do it with suction. So we do all of that. Plastic surgery, all of plastic surgery. We do hand surgery. We're really good at hand surgery. We've been able to reattach digits here. Hopefully you won't have that problem, but we do all aspects of hand surgery, burn surgery, reconstruction, breast reconstruction, facial aging, tummy tucks, everything.
You have
been doing it 30 years, Eva. I'm getting old. I think I'm the oldest female plastic surgeon who's still practicing in town right now.
Well, you're not going anywhere.
No, I'm not.
Got to keep you around for a while. But you have some books, too. Tell us about those quickly.
Yeah. The Naked Truth About Breast Implants is a book about seven patient experiences and all the scientific information we've been talking about. A lot of peer-reviewed references. Then The Goddess Shift, Women Leading for a Change, and Optimism are two books that have like about 42 authors doing one chapter each. In Goddess Shift, of course, it's about the goddess energy coming in. It's Jane Fonda, Shirley MacLaine, Angelina Jolie, J.K. Rowling, who had Harry Potter rejected 50 times, which must have been very interesting. Olympia Dukakis, I don't know, Madonna, you know, it goes on and on. Whoopi Goldberg, just a whole bunch of women, and in various aspects, tennis players and opera singers and attorneys, doctors, all sorts of every field of endeavor. And then Optimism, similar, but it has men in it too. Jimmy Carter, Prince Charles, Queen Noor, Meryl Streep, Deepak Chopra, I think Bernie Siegel. There's a number of spiritual leaders in there too, including people who passed away. Helen Keller wrote an article on optimism. Albert Einstein wrote something on optimism. Steve Jobs. So they have people who are Norman Vincent Peale, who obviously was one of the founders of the self-help movement.
So when do you expect your new book to come out?
Well, I don't have a date for it right now. I mean, I just, you know, it's got to be written, and it's just a concept right now. But it's what I do here at Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. It's what we do to figure out difficult diseases. So I'm just going to put the formulas down that we use here to figure out what's going on and how to treat it. I figure it's probably worth passing on.
If someone wants an appointment, how do they get in touch? Is there an email, your phone number, your webpage?
They go to the webpage and fill out the form there, or call 770-457-4677.
Well, that works.
Okay.
We have one minute left. Is there anything you want to say to the world that you want them to know before we hang up today?
Well, let me tell them what's next week. I'm interviewing Brent Baum on Surviving Trauma School Earth, A Practical Guide to Emotional Survival on the Earth Plane. And then the next week, I'm interviewing for many times, Dr. Garth Nicholson, The Health and Anti-Aging Benefits of Lipid Replacement Therapy. You might want to interview mm-hmm. him too. Yeah. And then Dr. Norm Shealy, who is a good friend of both of ours, Living Bliss, Major Discoveries Along the Holistic Path, will be on the 14th of June. So that's what's coming up.
Do you mind if I say something that's coming on my show that people want to know?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
I have a series coming up starting June 1st, every Sunday of June through the first Sunday in July, and it's early to take charge of your health, detect and prevent early. Got Steve Sinatra
Great.
On heart disease, Amy Yatsko on genetics and methylation, Norm Shealy
mm-hmm.
on intuitive, and a laboratory, Atherotech Laboratories, and an herbalist, Guido Mach, and myself. Please join us 8 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Sunday night. Thank you. Thanks
Great.
For having me, Susan.
Thanks, Eva. Take care. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.